Good morning, everyone. A very warm welcome to you all, and warm is a very appropriate word this morning on this rather chilly day. Of course, we do welcome particularly warmly any visitors who are with us. We very much hope that you will feel at home and you will all join us for tea and coffee after the service, which will be in the Mayo Hall. Don't have any pastoral concerns this week, but I should like to highlight a Christian Aid Week. Christian Aid Week starts next Saturday, and there are quite a lot of details on the service paper, which we invite you to take home. We have the quiz, that's next Saturday, here in the Mayo Hall, and also the annual Christian Aid service will also be here, that's next Sunday evening. If you can volunteer with the house-to-house collections or the market stall, please do see me after the service. And something else in connection with Christian Aid is I have a piece from our intrepid Circle the City walkers. Christian Aid's 2019 Circle the City charity walk takes place a mere 2 weeks from today. A lot has happened in the ever more competitive world of leisurely Sunday afternoon strolling since last year's event. Exacting dietary and rigorous training regimes, tighter professional standards, and the challenging world of sports science have all added a whole new 22nd century dimension to the dynamics of ambling gently round the block. Hope you're still with me. But have no fear, KURC's crack squad remain undaunted. This year's team of Georgina Forbes, Camilo Fernandez, and Vaughan James have been busy dusting off their comfy outdoor shoes and de-mothballing their woolly walking socks and are ready for action. They are also steeled to see off any unforeseen perils that may be in store for them en route, from cups of tea to chocolate biscuits. If you would like to sponsor any one of them, and it doesn't matter which one, in walking 10 kilometres for Christian Aid, with little more than occasional stop to untangle their shoelaces, you will find them awash with sponsorship forms in the Mayo Hall. You might like to get in early while there's still space on the forms. Thank you.
Jesus calls us to walk with him, to eat with him, and to walk with him. As his friend, his guest, and his disciples, let us together praise him with all our hearts and serve him with all our strength. Amen. This morning, the reading Psalm 30, could you read it together? I praise you, Lord, because you have saved.
Remember all the good works of God and keep them in your hands.
Let us sing our first hymn, hymn number 74, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Visited. A prayer of confession. Lord, you know everything. You know when we have tried and failed. You know when we have let ourselves and others down. You know when we have criticized too soon and understood too late. You know and you forgive again and again and again. And so we bring our heart to you to be cleansed, renewed, and strengthened. Amen. A prayer of praise and thanksgiving. We praise you, living God, that when the notes of our lives are empty, you fill them with the abundance of your love. When we are afraid and fell down, you hold out your hands of forgiveness. And when we are tempted to give up, you call us afresh and give us strength for our journey. Thank you so much. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven,
Unfortunately, we have no children this morning. A big child. But I thought I would just give you a little idea of what I was going to say. I was going to ask the children if they could think of any times. I was going to talk to them about how they like having surprises, if they're good ones, and then ask them to think of times when Jesus surprised his disciples. And it's quite an interesting exercise that you might like to try sometime. I came up with the obvious ones. He surprised them by the way he could make people better. He surprised them by the way he changed water into wine. He certainly surprised Zacchaeus. And he apparently surprised 5,000 people when he could feed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And the biggest surprise, of course, must have been Easter. And this leads up to the fact that Jesus surprised his disciples on another occasion when he showed them how to catch a great load of fish when they hadn't been able to catch anything all night. And we were going on to the story about them having breakfast on the beach and the things that Jesus was able to say to them and the things he taught to them then.
Thank you. is taken from John chapter 21, verses 1 to 19. After this, Jesus appeared once more to his disciples at Lake Tiberias. This is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael, the one from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples of Jesus were all together. Simon Peter said to the others, "I am going fishing." "We will come with you," they told him. So they went out in a boat, but all that night they did not catch a thing. As the sun was rising, Jesus stood at the water's edge, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then he asked them, "Young men, haven't you caught anything?" "Not a thing," they answered. He said to them, "Throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you will catch some." So they threw the net out and could not pull it back in because they had caught so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Peter heard that it was the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment round him, for he had taken his clothes off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples came to shore in the boat, pulling the net full of fish. They were not very far from land, about 100 meters away. When they stepped ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and some bread. Then Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net ashore full of big fish, 153 in all. Even though there were so many, still the net did not tear. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. So Jesus went over, took the bread and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This then was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from death. After they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he answered, "you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep." A third time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was sad because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" So he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Take care of my sheep. I am telling you the truth. When you were young, you used to get ready and go anywhere you wanted to. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will bind you and take you where you don't want to go." In saying this, Jesus was indicating the way in which Peter would die and bring glory to God. Then Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Amen.
Early one morning, a man is standing on the shore of the lake, waiting for someone. Meanwhile, a boat comes. He asks the boat people, "Do you have any fish?" But he already knows that they have none. The way the boat is moving in the water is enough to tell him this. They reply that they have not caught anything, not even an old sole. The man tells them to throw the net into the water on the right side. They start to think, who is it that this man knows that we have no cats, and who think he knows where we should cast out net. But it worked. They caught many fish. It is then that they realize that their strange advisor was Jesus. Peter was bewildered. He jumped out of the boat while it was still in the deeper water. But before that, he put on his coat. Normally, we would be taking clothes off to enter deep water because that would be the safest way. He was being a bit crazy. This is the first time that Peter and Jesus have personally met after the resurrection. They did not greet each other in a familiar way. There was no hello or hug. This was just the same situation as when they first met. Jesus had advised the fishermen where to cast their nets. The picture was the same as when Peter first met Jesus and confused that he was a sinner. One of the things that was the same as on this day, Peter sees the charcoal fire just as he saw the charcoal fire in the court of the high priest Caiaphas, where he betrayed Jesus 3 times. Perhaps there was no need for a formal greeting because they are replying all the important parts of their time together. The mood must have been very heavy. It is not a happy meeting. Peter must have been very anxious. He could not find words. He was just there in the moment. Then Jesus said quite simply, "Bring some fish." He did not chastise them. He dealt with the now. Perhaps it would have been easier if he had been angry. When the fish was cooked and ready to eat, Jesus invited them to share the fish and some bread. This must have reminded them of the Last Supper, where Peter swore that he would never betray Jesus. What a difficult and terrible memory. Normally, Peter was the first to react and talk, but at this time, he was silent. Even if inside himself he was not, he was in pain. The disciples were probably waiting for Jesus to tell them off. I'm sure we can all remember a time when we knew that our parents would be telling us off. A part of us wanted it to be over and done with, and another part did not want to have to face it at all. It was a silent meal. After a while, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" The moment has come. There is no mistaking who Jesus was talking to. He was calling his friend in a loving way. It was time for Peter to face the issue. But Jesus was asking for his love. He was not complaining or going over old ground, however painful it might have been. Jesus was letting Peter know that he loved him. Here, there is an assumption in the question that Jesus already has great affection for Peter. By asking the question, he was confessing his love for Peter. This was disarming. By admitting to love, there was no place for conflict and pain. Jesus wanted to use his disciples and the woman to build the church. He knew that there would be conflict between the people of God's church. They would and continue to make mistakes, and there was and will be pain. He knew that they must be healed by asking the simple question, "Do you love me?" Previously, he had told the disciples to meet him at Galilee. This was the moment. Here, he would show them his love so that they could forgive their mistakes and move forward in the strength of his gracious love. He has given us a model for healing and maintaining good relationships. We need to be true to God and our neighbors, but also to ourselves. In this way, we can respect and trust each other. In this story, he was giving people a way to acknowledge their own mistakes and to use them to progress the church. Even now, people do not need to run away. Jesus loves the whole person and will hold them. Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" What a question to ask him. The man who had denied Jesus 3 times, even though he said he never would. Jesus did not ask him about what he had done wrong. By asking this question, he was simply asking for Simon Peter's love. Simon Peter was probably thinking that if he ever saw Jesus again, he would be in for a long telling off. But that was not the way. 3 times, Jesus asked him, and when he got the reply, he asked Peter to take care of his sheep. Jesus was not dwelling on the emotional blockage of Peter. He knew that he was a good man and goes straight to the heart, asking him to take care of others because he knew that Peter could. We know that people make mistakes, sometimes big ones and sometimes little ones. We may want to help them, but how do we do this? Peter made mistakes and he knew it. We learn of many people who make mistakes in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, Cain, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, and so on. In the New Testament, apart from Peter, we have Judas, Paul, and Mary, to name a few. How do we relate with other people when we have made a mistake? And most importantly, how do we relate to God in the face of mistakes? How do others relate to us, and what does God do? We may be like the Iscariot who sought revolution. They wanted to see an end to the Roman Emperor and were prepared to use their own people to get the end result. They would bully and fly on the conscience of people who were vulnerable because of their knowledge of their mistakes. Like them, we can remind people of their failings and use their weakened minds to influence them to do what we want them to do. Or we may be like the scribes and the Pharisees. They offered good advice and recommendations, but people would already know what they have done wrong. Some teachings are burdensome rather than helpful. When we know that we have done wrong, is a reminder of how we went wrong, what we need. Or do we need a friend who will not want to use our weakened minds or state the obvious? This is God's way. He will work with you, not use or chastise you. Emotion is just emotion. It is not good or bad. It is part of being human. If emotions are repressed, we can react strongly and inappropriately to what is around us. We need to learn about ourselves in order to be better at expressing our emotions. It is then that we can help others. It is like a pressure cooker. While it is doing the work of cooking the rice or stew, the pressure is perfect, but when it is time to stop, care is needed to release the pressure in a slow, gentle way. If it is rushed, then an explosion can happen. So it is with our relationship with God. He knows about you and loves you despite anything you may do that is wrong. He will be there when it is time to ease up on the heat of emotion, and he will not use our emotions to his advantage. Jesus worked with the sinners. He did not relate as a teacher or a judge. He invited us to travel with him. Whatever we do and who we are, amen. Let us keep silent for a moment. A prayer of intercession. When I say, "And all who bear the weight of failure, could you respond? May Jesus turn their lives around." Loving God, we pray for those who carry the burden of guilt, and all who bear the weight of failure. We pray for all who are afraid of their past and all who are fearful of their future. May Jesus turn their lives around. We pray for those desperate for forgiveness and determined to being again. May Jesus turn their lives around. We pray for those whose mistakes are public and for leaders who have misused their power. May Jesus turn their lives around. We pray for ourselves and for one another. May Jesus turn our lives around. Amen. Continue our worship for offering. This is the Lord's table, and we invite all who love our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, whether members of this church or not, to share communion with us. After being served, please retain the bread and wine so that we may eat and drink together. So when you receive the bread, hold it, and then we all together to eat. Invitation. Jesus was often a guest. He shared many meals with his friend, and they long remembered his word at the table. So some disapproved of the company he kept. Jesus ate and drank with all kinds of people and showed everyone the love of God. Wherever people met together, Jesus was glad to be welcomed and to be fed. Today, we are the guests of Jesus. He welcomes us wherever we are and whatever we bring, and he will feed us at this table. Old or young, rich or poor, joyful or in sorrow, Jesus invites us to share bread and wine with him to remember the story of his life and death, and to celebrate his presence with us today. On the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with 12 of his disciples in an upstairs room in Jerusalem. Paul tells us what happened that night. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following his example, we take this bread and this cup. And give thanks to God." So let us pray. As we celebrate this day, we thank God for the coming of Jesus as he follows the heart of the Lord into Jerusalem. We thank you, God, for his strength and courage in pursuing the journey. In the light of the event of the week ahead, for the loneliness that Jesus will face, despite the crowd, we thank God for his commitment and dedication. As we journey on as a church family toward the heart landing event of Good Friday, we thank God for such forgiving love. As we shout out Hosanna with the crowd, we thank God for all the years of praise and worship which have brought us thus far and will carry us on into the future. On this celebration day, we thank God for Jesus. We praise you for Christ, the bread of life and the true vine, whose body was given for us and whose blood was poured out for us. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us. And this your gift of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be the communion of body of Christ, and the cup which we bless may be the communion of the blood of Christ. As we share the sufferings of Christ, so give us grace to know the power of his resurrection, that we may be made one and evermore abide in him, to your praise and glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When Jesus had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Eat this bread, it is the bread of life. When Jesus had given thanks, he gave the cup to his disciples and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink this wine, it is the cup of blessings. Amen. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Call us as your disciples, and we will follow you. Say go, and we will go. Tell us what to do, and we will do it. Give us the word, and we will speak them. Master, we seek only to serve you and to know your will for us. Fill us with the confidence and faith to obey your call and to answer your challenges, so that we may show our love for you because you, our Lord, were obedient to the end. Gracious God, may the love which make us welcome at this table gather all your children into one. In your eternal presence, whole and free, at last. Amen. Let us sing our next hymn, 345. 345.
Birthday in somebody amongst us this morning. Anne McFarlane, she has a special birthday this week. And there's a few from us all. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Let us pray. May Jesus bring abundance where there is scarcity, confidence where there is fear, purpose where there is stillness, and may each of us know his forgiveness, his love, and his blessing in the day ahead and always. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen.